Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope that you're having a great week. You are tuning into the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. My name is John Bautista, your co-host, and in today's episode, we have Kim discussing an observation that she's been noticing in couples counseling. And honestly, it's actually an observation that allows you to see her heart and the heart of the practice that she started, The Marriage Place. In this episode, Kim navigates the emotion of fear that partners experience in their relationships. She also defines what boundaries are and their function. And then lastly, she gives an encouragement to self-improve for those who feel stuck in strong emotions. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Hey, Kim, how are you doing today?
Hey, John, I'm melting.
You're melting. Yeah, it's pretty hot. I mean, it was a pretty hot 4th of July as well.
I'm kind of over it.
Yeah, I'm over the heat too. Yeah, it's like been like this for weeks now. All right, so I'm just curious, like, what did you do this weekend?
We had a really, well, it was indoors, I'll tell you that, because 100 yeah. degrees is just not my idea of a good time. But we, we smoked ribs and put together a meal and spent the day as a family. And I'm really jealous of people with pools right now.
Yeah.
We had one and I swore I'd never have another one because of all the work, but I missed it yesterday.
Yeah. No, that's good. I was also inside. I went and saw Planet of the Apes, new Planet of the Apes movie.
Was it any good?
It was really good. It was surprisingly really? Good. Like, yeah, I've heard that there's like about, you know, 7 or 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cold in the movie theater and we had lounge chairs. So, you know, we were able to, you know, kick back a little bit.
Yeah, that's nice. I like you had me at AC.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice and cool, dark, and it was a very interesting story. Right.
So one of the things that we're trying to do, we're getting ready to, you know, I mentioned on one of the podcasts that we took a 5-month RV trip to.
That's right.
During COVID, when we were so housebound, we were losing our minds. Well, we're getting ready to take another extended trip. And so I don't know, we'll be doing some recording of these podcasts on the road. So that might be interesting.
That's right. We'll get real time processing with Kim.
That's right. Real time.
On the road. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Man, what is one of the most anticipated sceneries or states or parks?
We're going to Maine because I try really hard to get out of the Texas heat. And so we're going to Maine. Of course, everywhere we go to chase 80 degrees or whatever they call that. Wherever we go, they have record-breaking heat every time. I can melt a polar ice cap just by visiting. So, yeah. So, but we're going to Maine and we're going to Acadia National Park, which I'm really looking forward to doing. And we're going to, you know, see some of the coastal towns on that side of the country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
It's very pretty up north.
Yes, it is.
It feels like I'm in a movie.
And it's cool.
And it's cool on multiple levels.
On multiple levels.
That's awesome. Well, to kind of move us forward, what I wanted to do was give you a chance to kind of unpack what you stated earlier right before starting the show. You had come to me and mentioned that you've been experiencing some sense of heaviness, of importance. You know, there's something that you're consistently experiencing in your sessions. And that's something that I wanted to give you an opportunity to unpack about what's really going on.
Okay. So one of the things that's been on my mind a lot recently is working with couples where usually one, or both parties are living in a fear, in an environment of fear and intimidation. So I can't imagine personally how exhausting and lonely and debilitating that is to live that way. I mean, several people grow up in homes where they've lived in fear and intimidation with abusive caregivers or difficult situations. And so that is oftentimes carried over into their adult relationships as well. And it's tragic to me. And I've never lived that way as an adult. That would be the worst nightmare situation for me. But I see it so much. And so it doesn't even necessarily mean that one person that you're living with an abusive partner. We're not talking necessarily even about, and I mean physically abusive. But you're living in a home where somebody might be very strong personality or be a bully or have rage episodes, which again, emotional abuse, but I'm talking about sometimes the level of fear and intimidation I see is equivalent to growing up in a home where you were physically abused, right? And so it's a tough dynamic, and I wish that we could figure this out on more of a global platform, because I see it so often, and it's both men and women. So men come in feeling intimidated or afraid of their partners as well. And so they oftentimes will manifest like they'll come in and be very quiet. They won't really open up. I can tell in a therapy session that they're married to somebody who's got strong opinions and strong emotions, and they will often hold back. And if I get them alone and try to dig in a little bit about what's going on, they'll say that I don't want to rock the boat. You know, it's not worth what I have to pay, you know, to say what I really think. And so they'll stay silent a lot. And the women are often in those situations where the man's feeling that way, they're hot-headed or they just get very reactive and a lot of blame shifting. It's hard. It's hard to watch. And on the flip side of that, when the female comes in and she's feeling intimidated, it's oftentimes because the male has a lot of anger, a lot of punitive type behavior, like silent treatment or pouting or name calling, raging, that kind of thing. And so they'll often show up very intimidated.
Yeah. Huh. Now, just from your perspective, you know, seeing these couples come in, is there just quickly, like, what would you say is or are some contributing factors to a male coming in with fear or a female coming in with fear? Like, what from their specific backgrounds?
Well, you know, I take everything back to attachment theory to some degree. And so if you're somebody who's an avoider or a pleaser, you're going to be more prone to live in fear and intimidation because you don't like the strong emotions and the feelings, and you don't want to upset or cause your spouse to be, you don't want to hurt their feelings if you're a pleaser. You have a hard time expressing. You've been taught or shown in your life that either your thoughts and feelings don't matter, they're not appropriate, or they're weak. And so you just kind of want to keep sweeping things under the rug. But I'm telling you, when I those marriages that are not addressed, there's decades of this. Like there's decades of it. And oftentimes the person who's avoiding will even have an affair because they would rather go outside of the marriage for relief and comfort than deal with the situation in the marriage.
Wow, that's like extreme avoidance.
It is extreme avoidance. And they'll either leave the marriage or they'll cheat and get some comfort that way.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when they do, when they're caught cheating or when they finally say, I'm done, I want a divorce, the spouse is stunned, shocked, didn't see it coming. How could they? All they had to do was tell me, you know, why didn't they just step in and tell me? So there's two aspects to this that have to happen. So one, if you're the person who's living that way, if you're living in that fear, and we're not talking about fearing for your life.
Right.
Like if you're in a situation where you're being physically threatened or abused, or your husband or wife, like, you know, lets you know there's a gun in the house. If you're dealing with anything like that, get out.
Yes.
Get out today. Get out now. Be safe. Get out.
Safety first, right?
Safety first. I'm talking about living with difficult people that are just difficult. And two things have to happen. First of all, you have to get strong enough in yourself to stand up for yourself and to say no more. Like, the dynamics here aren't healthy and they have to change. So you have to get ready, stronger, empowered. You have to figure out where your strength comes from. You have to know your worth. You have to have some skills. Like, that's some individual therapy work.
Right.
To help you lean into that, right?
Yeah.
And then the second thing that has to happen is that you have to learn how to actually stand up for yourself. One, you have to be ready to do it and willing to do it, and then you have to know how to do it. Because the person on the other end, nobody likes boundaries set. Nobody likes to be on the other end of that, right? And oftentimes these partners are not open to feedback. So you can't really just sit down with them and go, you know, I'm just feeling intimidated and I don't like the language and the way that you curse at me. And they'll be like, they'll either be like, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Won't happen again. And it does. Or they'll be like, what do you mean? You're just being too sensitive. Just get over it. It's not that big a deal. What's wrong with you? I'm just joking.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
they don't know how to hear it.
Right. Like, what do you do with people that are, you know, that you're the avoider and the other partner is the aggressor? I mean, like, how do you even stand up to that?
Once you're ready and you know what you're dealing with, right? And so one key thing to remember is you don't have to convince the person who is being inappropriate, who has bad behavior. You don't have to convince them it's bad behavior. You don't have to get them to agree with you. You don't have to get them to see your point of view. It'd be nice. It'd be really nice if they did.
Really nice. Yes.
Really nice. And in therapy, if you're in my office as a couple, I'm working hard to help that happen.
Yeah.
Right. To help them develop empathy for what you're going with, for them to dealing with, for them to understand how their behavior is affecting the relationship. Like, I'm all over that. But you don't have to get their buy-in on that, because the boundary isn't, and people will say, I set boundaries and he or she won't abide by them. It's not about what they'll abide by. It's about what you will tolerate. So for example, when you curse at me, I'm done. I'm done with this conversation. I'm stepping out, but I'm not leaving you. I'm not walking out of the marriage, but I'm stepping out of the conversation, and I'll come back in 30 minutes or an hour and we could try again, but not when it's like this.
Yeah.
Just a hard, fast no. Mm-hmm. Right? And oftentimes that will be very shocking for the partner.
Yeah. I mean, especially if they've felt like they've been in control the entire time, and or maybe they seek control most of the time. A lot of people think boundaries are things that we just tell people to do. Mm-hmm. But can you clarify and maybe even re-explain what a boundary is and who's it for?
Well, there are two types of boundaries that I set on myself. Like, I have boundaries on myself. What I will and will not put other people through, right? So we call those internal boundaries. And so I know that I'm not going to scream and yell, especially in a public place, right? We can control ourselves better then. So that's my internal boundary. That's on me, right?
Yeah.
How I'm going to treat you, right?
Yeah.
The external boundary is how I'm going to allow you to treat me, how I'm going to participate in that. See, I can't control your behavior on either side of this boundary situation.
Right.
Right? But I don't have to participate. I don't have to stay put and allow you to continue treating me in a disrespectful way. I can remove myself.
There you go. Yeah. So it's not controlling another person's behavior, but because we can't do that.
Right.
We can't control how people respond or react to us. But what we can do is say, hey, if you continue to do this, then I'm not willing to tolerate that. And I need to feel safe. I need to help myself feel safe. And because of that, I'm going to remove myself from this conversation or do, you know, like whatever you need.
Yes. And it's really important to remember that even in setting boundaries, you can be controlling and abusive, and you need to be careful and watch for that. So for example,
very true.
If you show up and you're aggressive or mean or just in a bad mood and you're dumping all that all over me, you know, I can kind of F you, slam the door, leave, not come back for days. Like, this is not what we're talking about. Right, we're talking right. about being relational, and being relational means I want to be in relationship with you, mm-hmm. right? I want to respect myself and respect you. That's being relational. I want to respect myself and respect you. And so I'm coming at this in my higher self, and my higher self says, it is not cool to be talked to that way. It's not cool. Right? So I'm stepping out for just a bit. Because the goal isn't to punish the person with your distance or your absence. The goal is to give them time to look at their behavior, calm themselves down, and show up differently for you.
Yeah. So one of the main points of the boundary is to continue and keep the relationship in good health.
Yes. Yeah.
That's also very like dignifying. Like you're saying, I'm not going to treat you wrong because I value you. I love you. You're a human being. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put up with another human treating me wrong because I'm valuable and human.
And listen, even the most healthy, well-balanced person can have a bad moment. Like, I mean, I have said things to my husband or my kids that I'm not proud. I'd love to go back and redo that. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about helping our partners regulate and be respectful. It's about helping us regulate and be respectful. Yeah. And so we're all going to have moments when we're off.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's very important to give ourselves grace and to give other people grace. Like you said, like we're not saying that you should be in relationships or be in the proximity of somebody who is physically abusing you, but you know, it is absolutely okay. And you're respecting yourself and the other person in setting these types of boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's a lot, it's a lot of steps to get there. I mean, some of us are just wired more naturally and easily to be like, oh, you know, no, that's not happening. Right. Some of us are just, you know, more outspoken and willing to do that. And so getting yourself ready to do that is a big part of it.
You know, that's an interesting point. There was a study that I had read about how an individual feels confident to speak their mind. And what they had was they had sets of families that had lots of order, lots of structure. The kids wouldn't talk. They all made a decision on what to do on like on a vacation. And the dad would say, hey, all right, this is what we've come to. This is what we're going to do. And then there was another family that just, I mean, it was just bonkers in that room. Everyone was saying, I want to do this. I want to go to Disney. I want to go to Alaska. I want to do this. I want to go on Kim's road trip tour. And they realized after all this research, now, obviously I'm like synthesizing a whole lot, but at the very end of the study, they realized that the individuals that felt the most confident were the ones that were able to speak their mind in kind of the chaos, like the little kid that had, you know, that was like 4 years old saying he wants to go to Disney World showed him and even proved more confidence later on in life.
Your home should be the safest place for the people that live there, the children and the spouses. It should be the safest place.
That's good.
And when it isn't, something's off. And oftentimes there's one person who's the hammer and one who is the nail, where somebody is getting their way, where somebody is not regulating themselves and they expect everyone else to put up with their bad behavior. And it's just not right.
Yeah.
So in your relationship, who's the hammer and who's the nail? Because if you have that dynamic where somebody's tiptoeing on eggshells, they don't want to set you off. You know, oftentimes you may not even realize it. You're so used, you know, the family's so used to treating you special or different, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, you know, it comes a lot from our attachment styles, and those are experiences that we've had growing up.
Right.
A lot of us grew up thinking, man, we're just the nail, and my parents are the hammer, or my cousins are the hammer, or my grandmother like is the hammer.
And now my husband's the hammer or my wife's the hammer.
So even though I still don't like it and I still don't feel valued, this is what I'm used to.
Yeah.
This is what keeps the relationship, is for me to just
obey. Or maybe you were growing up and you were the nail and you thought that that's not working.
Yeah.
And you decide to overcompensate and now you become the hammer. Nope, ain't nobody going to tell you what to do.
Yeah. I've definitely seen some relationships like that.
Yeah, it's toxic. Remember, it's we've said this before too. The environment is that you put in, what you put into the environment allows your relationship to thrive or to wither. And everybody has to have the ability to thrive, not just one person.
That's right. That's so good.
Everybody has. And listen, these people are not necessarily bad people. And I want to put that out there too. They're not, it's not that they're bad people. I mean, sometimes you know, I've seen it where I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. But oftentimes they're just wounded, unhealed attachment stuff. Right.
Right.
But something about them drew you in and attracted you because you've allowed it. Mm. You've allowed it.
Man, you've said some really good things all throughout this episode. I'm curious if you have a last thought for us.
You have a last thought. Yeah. So if you're living in a relationship where you're walking on eggshells, figure out what your attachment style is. Talk to a therapist, preferably one that's pro-marriage, because oftentimes therapists cave too quickly and they're like, just get out. You know, and I'm like, don't, you know, like, wow. That's a big jump, right? Go to somebody who's pro-marriage and figure out how to strengthen yourself to deal with your trauma, if there's trauma, to deal with your attachment issues so that you can show up better in the marriage, because it's time to stop it.
Yeah.
Time to stop it.
Yeah. And it starts with us.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Kim. You crushed it today. I'm so excited about this content being shared with people. And I'm also excited that we've been getting some Ask Kim emails and audio clips. So if you're curious, if you have a question about your marriage or about someone's marriage or about a relationship, feel free to email askkim@themarriageplace.com. You can voice record a memo or you can type up an email. As long as you're okay with us reading it on our show, then you're more than welcome to go ahead and send your questions. Once again, askkim@themarriageplace.com. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. We want to be doing the finessing. We don't want to get finessed by them. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we'll see you guys later. Take care of yourself and each other. Peace.